Morning. Thank you for being here. I hope everyone that's here this morning truly understands the blessing of seeing you all here today. It encourages me. It helps me. Too many times preachers become discouraged. Sometimes they get to the point to where they want to give up. But as I say those things, I want us to look at God's Word. And as the title says, just as He said, and the rest of it is simply, just as He said to them. This morning's lesson is designed to be an exhortation for each and every one of us here today to take the words of Jesus seriously. Too many times over the years I have heard people say and people claim, well, yes, that's what the Bible says, but you know, it's so outdated that it needs to be updated. It needs to be brought up into the modern day and age. But is truly that what needs to be done? Or is it that perhaps we need to take Jesus' word seriously and take Him at His word? God, Jesus, because we know that they are one and the same, keeps His word, doesn't He? There's probably no one here today that will say God does not keep His word. But you know what? Sometimes we wonder, don't we? Sometimes we wonder because we're human. You know, God doesn't live in our time frame. You know, the old saying, the old adage, you know, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. That's many times how we look at things. We need to understand that God, Jesus, keeps His word. Take your Bibles. Open up to Luke chapter 19. We're going to be reading some verses here today. Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 30. Luke chapter 19, verse 30, saying, go ye to the village over against you, and the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied thereon, yet never man set. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you why you do loose him, thus shall ye say unto him, because the Lord have need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof, and said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. You know, when I was reading these verses, this is simply, you know, verses concerning Jesus going into Jerusalem, and he sent his disciples to bring the colt that he might ride into Jerusalem, the triumphant entering. But you know what I think is more amazing? It's the simple fact that the disciples found exactly what Jesus told them that they would find. Now, this may just be me, but something else that I found here that I thought was kind of interesting. Look at verse 30. Saying, go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. Now, I'm not much of a horseman. I've rode a few horses in my lifetime. More getting knocked off and bit, but yeah, I've had a few horse rides. Have you thought about this? This is a colt. This colt's probably never been broke. Because Jesus himself said that no man has ever sat upon this colt. But yet Jesus sat upon him and rode him to Jerusalem. Now, like I said, it may just be me, but I think that's a miracle within itself. Because most colts that's never been sat upon throw a fit. And most of you that have been around horses know pretty well what I'm saying. Joshua. Let me get this piece of equipment turned on here. 21, verse 45. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord has spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. Even in Joshua's day, Joshua understood that everything that the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel has come to pass. Not a word failed. Now, do we believe that that's true? Do we believe that Joshua was speaking the truth, that there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel? All came to pass. And then what's even more exciting, if you want to call it that, look at Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? We're told here that God's not a man that he should not lie, or that he should lie. When God makes a promise, we can be assured that he will keep that promise. You know, Joshua understood that. Moses understood that. Ezekiel understood that. Ezekiel chapter 12, verse 25, for I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. And it shall be no more prolonged or put off. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word and will perform it, saith the Lord? For I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I speak shall come to pass. Do we believe that? Do we have the understanding that what God says is what God means? Should we not take God and Jesus' word? Should we not take them just as they said? I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. Now, has not Jesus made promises to his disciples? Has not Jesus made promises to those who are faithful? If Ezekiel and Joshua and Moses understood that when God spoke, it was going to come to pass, should we not also come to an understanding that the promises that were made to us, God is going to keep? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. Paul writes this: "For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us." For all of the promises of God in him are yes. Think about this. What promise has God made to his disciples? What promise has God made to us that will not come to pass? Are we not told in Revelation chapter 10, or chapter 2 and verse 10, that if we remain faithful until death, we're going to receive a crown of life? That's a promise. That's a promise from the Lord. Do we believe it? Do we believe that if, you know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we believe that, don't we? So why should we not believe that if we remain faithful until death, we're going to receive a crown of life? For all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yes. And in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. God, Jesus, keeps their word. As the old saying goes, you can take that to the bank. Now, I'm going to give you some words of Jesus that each and every one of us need to remember. Okay? It's not a test. You know, I'm not going to ask everybody if they can remember all of these words, but if you want, write them down because they're important. Words of Jesus that need to be remembered. Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." Brothers and sisters, what John is saying here is that we better be on fire. Because if we're lukewarm or cold, what's going to happen? What do you think the reference there is? "I'm going to spew thee out of my mouth." He's going to do away with you. You're going to be lost. You're not going to make it to heaven. That's Jesus' word. Do we believe it? Lukewarm Christians will be rejected. That's what he's saying. It's not my words, it's the Lord's word. We either accept it or we're going to reject it. 1 Kings 18, verse 21. "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions?" How long are you going to be stuck between these two opinions, okay? And, you know, too many times people today, they become stuck between different opinions. You know, opinions, you know, everybody's got one. Are we sure that our opinion is correct? "And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But of all, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Wow. Elijah gave him a choice. You follow God or follow a pagan god. And they didn't answer. Brothers and sisters, I believe that today we have basically the same thing. Are we going to follow the God of the Bible, or are we going to follow worldly opinion? You know, that men evolved from apes, that the universe was created by a big bang of nothing. That still bottles up my brain, how nothing can become something. We have to take a stand. That's what Elijah's talking about here. We have to take a stand. We are either going to be for, or we're going to be against. You can't have it both ways. We have to take a stand. Then Mark chapter 13 and verse 30. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. Now, this is a commandment, brothers and sisters. This is not if we want to. If we truly love the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength, then you know what that means? That nobody is above God. Not your spouse, not your children, not your grandma, your grandpa, not your preacher. We are to love God with all of our heart, with our soul, and with all of our mind and our strength. Above all else. But yet too many times in this world today, people love everything but God. Yeah, they go to, quote, church. But they worship in a fashion that suits them. They don't love the Lord enough to adhere to the written word just as he said. Well, you know, it's old and archaic and no longer applies to us in our modern day and age. We need to liven up our worship. Well, I disagree. When we come to worship, we come because we love with God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. And when we come to worship, we set our minds on worship and not the things in the world. Words that Jesus said that needs to be remembered. Lukewarm Christians are going to be rejected. We have to take a stand. And we must love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength. Our very being is to love God. Then we read in James chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. These are the words of Jesus. Just as he said, faith without works is dead. We need to remember something here. We need to remember that James is not discussing whether or not you have to be baptized. Okay? This is not talking about baptism. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to people who have already obeyed the gospel, who have already been baptized and had their sins washed away. Faith without works is dead. James chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. Then we can look in Luke chapter 2 and verse 2 and 3. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and what ye have spoken in the ears in closets shall be pronounced from the housetops. Jesus said, your secret sins will be revealed. Yeah, I mean, we might get by with them through our entire life, but on the day of judgment, they will be revealed. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. This is the whole duty of man. To fear God and keep his commandments. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, the thought of standing before a holy God to give an account of our sins, to me, is terrifying. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. First John chapter 1 and verse 19. These are, again, just as he said. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't care what you think you have done in your life. If we confess, then we will be forgiven. My sins are so bad and so many and so dark, and God's never going to forgive me. Then, brothers and sisters, we're calling John the Apostle a liar, but we're also calling Christ a liar. Just as he said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, which sin do you think you have that's not included in all? Words of Jesus. Lukewarm Christians are going to be rejected. We have to take a stand. We must love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, and mind and strength. Faith without works is dead. Our secret sins will find us out. And that if we are faithful, if we confess our sins, then Jesus is faithful and will forgive us our sins. Matthew 24, verse 37 through 39. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of Son of Man be. In other words, in Jesus' own words, his second coming is going to surprise a few people. A few million or more. Jesus will, his return will catch people off guard. There is not going to be a sign to warn us when he's coming. Just as Matthew writes here and Jesus says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating, drinking, giving in marriage. They were living their life, going on day after day, doing normal human things. All of a sudden, without notice, Christ comes. It's going to be that quick. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. Last verse. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Take him at his word, just as he said. Today is the day of salvation, because we're not given tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. I think we sing a song with that phrase in there, don't we? Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. All that Jesus has ever and said, everything that Jesus has ever said will happen just as he said. Okay? You believe that, don't you? That is a warning to the unfaithful that what Jesus said will come to pass, but it's a blessing to the faithful. So the question is, which are you? If you're here this morning and not a Christian, don't put it off. Don't wait. Because tomorrow may be too late. Or if you're already here and a child of God, perhaps see that you might need the prayers of the saints. Would you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?
Often I'm hindered on